thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're continuing our short Easter series. We're not known for our short series, are we? We've been looking at some of the different characters who were part of the first Easter story. So up to now, we've looked at the crowd who were part of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We've also looked at the characters of Judas, Caiaphas, and Pilate. This evening, we're going to look at someone who I think most of us can probably relate to a lot more than we could relate certainly to the crowd or to Judas, Caiaphas, and Pilate. We're going to look at Peter. And I think there's probably something in Peter that every single one of us can relate to. So we're going to read this evening from Luke 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke 22, 54 to 62. So Jesus has just been arrested in the garden. He hasn't been just arrested in the garden. Yeah, he has, yeah. Okay. I'm mixing up my different chapters. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him," but he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. I'm going to look at this passage tonight, or not just maybe this passage, but about Peter. Who was Peter? His past. Who is Peter? His present. Who will Peter be? His future. So who was Peter? His past. Peter is, without doubt, the most well-known of the disciples, and for very good reason. He was one of the first to actually be called to be a disciple, along with his brother Andrew. He was one of the 12 who were later named by Jesus as an apostle or as apostles. He was also one of the three. There was a 12, and then within that 12, there was a closer inner circle of three: Peter, James, and John. They experienced stuff that the others didn't, like the transfiguration. And when you read through the Gospels, you get the definite sense of Peter as the spokesman. He's the one who's always ready to put himself out there. I mean, did you hear the others saying, "You know, tell me to get out of the boat and walk on water"? I mean, Peter was just willing to put himself out there. But if you go back to the beginning, in fact, to the time before Peter had actually been called to be a disciple, before he had left everything to follow Jesus, if you go back to that time, Peter had an encounter with Jesus that showed him what was really in his heart, the true state of his heart. And you can read that for yourself in Luke chapter 5, verses 3 to 11. Jesus was teaching a large crowd of people by on the shore, the Lake of Galilee. They were crowding in around Jesus. The fishermen were there. They were probably sitting in their boats or maybe just at the shore. They were cleaning their fishing nets. They were tired. They'd been out fishing all night. But there's no way they're going to miss this opportunity to hear Jesus teach. But then Jesus stepped off the shoreline and he got into Peter's boat. And he said to Peter, put out a little bit from the shore. So Peter did that, and Jesus sat in the boat and he continued to teach the people from the boat. And then after he'd finished teaching everybody, he said to Peter, put your boat out into the deep, let down the nets for a catch. Now, Peter said, well, Lord, we've actually been out all night and we've caught nothing. But because you say it, I'll do it. I think the inference here is, Jesus, you're a carpenter and you're a great teacher, but I'm a fisherman. Like, I'm a fisherman and I know you don't really go out fishing when the sun's out. It's really bright and sunny and everything. We've been out all night. We've caught nothing and there's just nothing there really. But he did it because Jesus said, but he had no great expectation of catching anything. He went out, put down the nets, and so many fish were swimming in, the nets are beginning to break. And he's having to call James and John, his colleagues, come and help us, like our nets are breaking here, to haul this in. What did Peter do? Do you remember what Peter did when that happened? It tells you in Luke 5:8. When Peter saw what had happened, here was his reaction. To fall down at the knees of Jesus and say, Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That was Peter's starting point. Recognizing he was sinful. Recognizing that he couldn't see things from God's point of view. Recognizing that he was just looking at life, looking at the whole fishing thing from his perspective, from his human understanding. Somewhere along the line, it seems that Peter began to forget he was still a sinful man who always needed to be aware of his own frailty, his own weakness, and his own reliance on human understanding rather than the will of God. So that was Peter in his past. What was Peter in the present? When Jesus told the disciples that he was going to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead, all of them warned him against it. They said, no, you can't go there because the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they hate you. They're plotting to kill you. So it's not a good idea. It's a dangerous idea. But they went there. And Lazarus, I keep on about this. I think I've mentioned this almost every week. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Many Jews believe. And in the euphoria of that moment, and then the triumphal entry, the praise of the Lord that was going on there, then the week of teaching in the crowds, did they forget the threat? Did they forget all about the threats on Jesus? But then that supper, we call it the Last Supper, the night before Passover, and Jesus started talking about betrayal, about one of them going to betray him. It was an uncomfortable conversation. Again, it raised that uncomfortable thought of the threats against Jesus. But then the meal seemed to pass off without incident. I mean, Judas went out. They didn't know where he was going. They didn't think he was going to betray Jesus. They sang a hymn together. They all went out together, Jesus and the 11, to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus had gone often to pray. It was a comfortable place. It was a secluded place. And then the conversation took a dark turn. Listen to what happened, and particularly to Peter's response. This is in Matthew 26 from verse 31. Then Jesus told them, this very night, You will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, speaking to Peter, this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And the other's disciples said the same. So Peter wasn't the only one to vehemently tell Jesus he would never deny him, but he was the first one to say it, and the others followed the lead. Peter simply couldn't believe that he would desert Jesus. He felt in his heart of hearts, I would never disown Jesus. He made that statement, even if all the others fall away, I won't. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about how Peter saw himself? He saw himself as stronger than the others. He saw himself as more faithful than the others. He saw himself as more spiritual than the others. He even claimed that he was willing to die for Jesus, with Jesus, rather than deny him. But that declaration was made before Peter felt any personal threat on his life. And it showed the pride in Peter's heart. It showed that the self-life was still very strong in Peter. He really didn't know himself very well. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. If any of us think in my own strength, I'll be able to stand. I'll stand. Whatever trial comes my way, I'll stand strong. If we're relying on our own strength, we'll be shocked by our fall. We need always to rely on the strength of the Lord. We need always, no matter how long we have been devoted to Christ, we need always to recognize that enemy, well, the devil's one enemy, self. Self is a huge enemy in all of our lives. But Peter here, it was going to be the most painful lesson of his life. And we can see his determination here in what happened next. John 18, 8 to 11. This is when the men came to arrest Jesus. I told you that I am he, Jesus answered. If you're looking for me, then let these men go. This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it out and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? When you read that first bit about Peter drawing the sword, whacking the guy's ear off, Peter's living up to his word. Here's Jesus, his master, his friend, his Lord, confronted by this mob, really, this crowd coming to arrest him. They're wanting to take Jesus prisoner, and Peter springs into action. He's not going to let it happen. He's not going to idly stand by and let them arrest Jesus. He's going to put a stop to it. And he started probably just chopping at the guy's head like, it's probably very fortunate for the guy, it was just his ear, he got cut off. But immediately, Peter's rebuked by Jesus. Put your sword away. And he's reminded by Jesus, the Father has given me a cup to drink and I have to drink it. How quickly did Peter forget that stinging rebuke On another occasion, Jesus had been speaking about his death. And Peter said, "Never, Lord, never. It shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." And here, Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has for me? Friends, we can be a devoted Christian. We can be a devoted follower of Jesus even for many years and still be motivated by the flesh, by ourselves, by our own human understanding of any situation we may be facing. Peter had to learn a lesson here. Die to yourself, Peter. See what I'm doing. See what God's doing in the situation. And then the soldiers arrested Jesus. They bound him. And in that moment, all 11 deserted him. They fled. They realized now our lives are in danger here. They didn't want to be arrested. They were overcome with fear. Peter, where was his bravery? Where was his courage? Where was, if I have to die with you, I will. He ran away. Peter didn't know his own heart. He started off with that catch of fish saying, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." But he got too full of himself and he ran away. He was a physically strong man. He was a fisherman. You needed to be strong. You needed to be hardy. He was an outspoken man. He was a natural leader of men. But what he didn't realize was his own susceptibility to fear. He thought he could stand the pressure, but when the threat came against his own life, he ran. Jesus predicted that this would happen. At the time, Peter ruled it out. There's no way. And Peter believed that. He believed there was no way he would deny Jesus. He couldn't foresee any situation in which he would deny or disown Jesus. And yet, probably within the hour, he had made his first denial of Jesus. I wonder after that first denial or second denial, did he recall those words of Jesus? Or was he kind of so blinded by everything that was going on, the situation he was in? But then he denied him. One of the other gospels says he denied him with cursing for the third time. And the cock crowed. That was the moment of truth for Peter. That was the moment of self-realization. That was the moment when he recognized once again, I am a sinful man. He went out. He wept bitterly. It's not a comfortable moment when you realize you're much weaker than you actually thought you were. When a situation comes into your life, you're faced with a crisis and you watched other people go through crisis and they seem to have great faith and then one comes into your life and you're thinking in your head before it, I can handle stuff. And then it comes and it totally floors you. It's not comfortable, is it? When we recognize we're not as strong as we thought we were. It's not a comfortable moment when you feel the Lord where you thought you wouldn't. Jesus was being led out of the high priest's house. He was crossing the courtyard. The cock crowed. Luke 22:61 says, Jesus looked straight at Peter. There is no way this was a look of condemnation. No way. It was possibly a look of sorrow, but I think overwhelmingly, this was a look of love, of compassion, of forgiveness. Jesus knew Peter and Peter's heart better than Peter knew it himself. Do you remember what Jesus said to Judas when Judas was betraying Jesus with a kiss, he said, friend, called him friend. So what kind of a look do you think Jesus gave to Peter? The one that Jesus knew was going to be the leading apostle in the earliest church. It was surely a look that cut Peter to the heart, because there was no animosity, there was no hatred, but love and mercy. Friends, if I could communicate one thing to you tonight, do you know what it would be? That's how Jesus is looking at you. That's how he's looking. Not with condemnation, not with hatred, not with that kind of despising look that some people give you. They roll their eyes. Oh, I knew it would happen, knew it would be you, that kind of a way. Jesus is looking at you tonight out of a pure heart of love. And then finally this evening, who would Peter be, his future? I am glad to tell you tonight that this terrible failure was not the end of Peter's relationship with Jesus. In fact, this turned out to be the defining moment of the rest of his life. He learned the hardest lesson of all. You can't rely on yourself. Have you learned it yet? You can't rely on yourself. The moment we come to believe that we will not fall, we are doomed to failure, because we start to rely on ourselves, on our own strength, even on our own love for Jesus. But listen, folks, until our dying day, we're going to be battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to be battling, and they're all mighty enemies. And it is only by keeping, as Graham has been reminding us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we will get safely to the other side. It's only by doing that that we will remain faithful to the Lord. Jesus knew that Peter and the others would desert him. But for Jesus, that wasn't the end of the line for Peter. Failure was not the last word in Peter's life. And I can tell you right now, failure does not have to be the last word in your life. Before all this happened, Jesus had warned Peter, you will deny me, you will disown me. He said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. How would we say that? We wouldn't normally say that. We would say, Satan's tried to take you out. He's trying to push you to the side, to make you fall away completely. But Peter, I have prayed for you. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Oh, what a word of encouragement. As with every other character that we have looked at in the Easter story, Peter couldn't shift the blame. Peter couldn't put his sin onto somebody else and say it's their fault. He made a wrong decision. He sinned. He failed. He had to own up to it. He had to take responsibility for it. He went out and he wept bitterly. He repented before God of what we had done. But surely, while he's there, wherever he was, weeping, totally breaking his heart, surely it came into his mind that Jesus had said, but I have prayed for you, Peter. Surely he took encouragement from that. Peter still had, at this point, Jesus hadn't died. Peter still wouldn't have understood how all this is going to pan out, about the importance of the cross for our forgiveness. Peter wouldn't have even understood all of that. But that Jesus, who he knew was the Messiah, had said, I have prayed for you. And that Jesus expected him to turn back onto the right path and to strengthen the brothers. What an encouragement. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you have deviated off the path in some way or in many areas of your life. You've maybe sinned, failed God, and you actually are feeling that failure is going to be the defining feature of your life. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, failure does not have to be the defining feature of your life, because Jesus Christ has died for you and is praying for you. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who speaks to the Father in our defense. And just like Peter, when we, well, you don't even have to weep, but we come before the Lord, however that is for you, in true repentance of heart, Jesus will forgive you and he will set you free. So many people, so many Christians even, they believe they're forgiven, but they humph about a weight of some big sin from the past. Something that they did that they just struggle to get over it. Listen, folks, Jesus paid the penalty for all our sin. He doesn't remember it anymore. You don't have to carry it about. The guilt is gone. The shame is gone. He truly sets us free. Truly sets us free. How do we know? How do we know that Peter really repented? How do we know that? Because we know that when the resurrection came, where was Peter? Was he sitting in some dark hovel by himself crying into his hanky? No, he wasn't. He was with the other disciples. He went and found the others. He didn't isolate himself or run off somewhere in his shame. Peter knew that Jesus was the Savior. He was the Christ. And though, as I said, he didn't understand yet the fullness of the cross and what that actually meant, he still believed in Jesus. And Jesus still believed in him. Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you. Not because you're something, not because I'm anything, because all any of us can say is, Lord, I am a sinful person. He believes in you because you belong to him. So some of you are Christians, you do belong to him now. And maybe you've deviated off the path, you failed him. Sort it out tonight. He's looking at you, not with condemnation. Some of you belong to him, and yet you're not yet in his family, but you belong to him because he has called you. He is calling you. You're his. You need to come to him. You need to hear the message and come. As I conclude this evening, how wonderful on resurrection morning, the angel is at the empty tomb. The woman had come with her spices to embalm the body of Jesus, and the body of Jesus didn't need any embalming. And what the angels say to the woman, go tell his disciples and Peter. Why did the angel say that? Because that's what God told the angel to say. That is what God told the angel to say. The Lord knew that out of the very sore hearts of 11 disciples, there was one probably with the sorest heart because he had publicly disowned that he even knew Jesus. And Jesus says to the angel, you tell those women to tell the disciples and particularly Peter, get to Galilee because I'm going to meet you there. Our Lord is the Lord of infinite mercy, grace, love, compassion, kindness, goodness. And tonight, he's saying, it's for you. Come and receive. Come and receive. Let's pray together. Lord, you know us all utterly and completely. Sometimes we think we know ourselves, and then we do something or we say something and we think, I didn't know myself so well there. I was very weak there. Lord, we can make that confession with Peter. I am a sinful person, but I thank you, Lord Jesus, you came to save sinners. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that you don't give up on us, even when we fail, even grievously, you do not give up on us. Thank you, Jesus, that you give another chance and another chance. And I pray, Lord, that in this room tonight, if there are any, Lord, who have yet to come to you for the first time, that they will come tonight to reach out to you. Oh God, that you would save souls. And Lord, for believers who've maybe deviated off the path, lost their way, Lord, like Peter, they would return and seek you, oh God, and see your look of compassion for them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.